To Psalm, and it is Psalm 5. Psalm 5 tonight, as we look at the subject doing battle in prayer. And you'll notice that one of the themes, or one of the prominent themes of these early Psalms, is the enemies of the Lord, opposition to the man of God, being David, of course, and his pleading with the Lord for help. In relation to those enemies. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to read Psalm 5 together from verse 1 down to 12, but we'll only be able to get through the first section of the psalm tonight for sake of time, and then Lord willing next time we'll recap and finish off the psalm. There's a lot in these psalms, and when I set out to start just making my way through them as time is available, I thought that'll be a nice simple little study and do the psalms, but there's so much in there. And so we don't want to rush through these truths. So let's read the psalm together, shall we? Psalm 5, on the count of two, we'll all read together from the start to the end. 1, 2. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against me. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Help us now, Lord, we pray, as we look into the eternal word of God. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Amen. Doing battle in prayer, and I hope you've picked up this from the reading there, that David once again has his enemies in view, the enemies of the Lord, the enemies of God's work, the enemies of God's man, and that is really the central theme of the psalm, hence why we chose the title Doing Battle in Prayer. And there is a need for us to learn the sacred art of warfare praying. Doing battle with principalities and powers, we know that we wrestle not as Christians against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, Ephesians 6. So what I'm going to do is just going to take you through the outline tonight, and you have a sheet there to fill in if you find it useful, and I'll make some comments as we go. But by way of introduction, we notice the title firstly there. The title, it is there, it says, to the chief musician upon Nehiloth, a psalm of David. And we notice there are a couple of details, or several details, in the title. We notice that there is the administrator of the psalm. It is addressed to the chief musician. And the chief musician was basically the choir director of the Old Testament, you could say. He was the one in charge of the temple music ministry, or the tabernacle music ministry in David's time. And then we have the word Nehiloth, and this is the accompaniment of the psalm. So the word there means a flute. Remember that the psalms is the songbook of ancient Israel. And so very often with the psalms, there will be a little note as to what instrumentation is to go with the psalm. Okay, so I think the previous one, Neginoth, had something to do with stringed instruments. This has to do with more of a flute-type instrument. Okay, all the flute players are happy about that. Okay, then we notice the author of the psalm. It is a psalm of David. That's the title. Now, I want you to also notice something of the time in the psalm. It is a morning psalm. You may remember in our last study in Psalm 4 that it was an evening psalm, a prayer or a song for the evening at the close of the day. Psalm 3 was a morning psalm. So we have a morning psalm in verse 3, an evening psalm in verse 4, back to a morning psalm in verse 5. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, verse 3. Okay, so we have this interesting principle right there of starting the day with the Lord and ending the day with the Lord. That's a good practice, isn't it? Start the day with the Lord and end the day with the Lord. That's the time. Notice now the theme. What is the theme in summary? Well, the psalm is a plea to the Lord for his defence and protection against some very vicious enemies. Okay, so David is pleading with the Lord to be his defence and protection against these enemies of God and God's work. Okay, it could be that this psalm was written, like Psalm 3, during that time in David's life where he was fleeing from Absalom. Now, the psalm doesn't specifically say that, so we can't say that dogmatically, but you remember with Psalm 3 that it was a psalm written when David was fleeing from Absalom. So some suggest that this could be the case or the context behind Psalm 5. But ultimately, we don't know, but we do know that David, as a man of God and as the ruler in Israel, he often faced opposition, and so that is a regular theme in some of his psalms. Bible commentator Alan Ross suggests this as the expository idea for the psalm. He says, quote, "The righteous may pray with confidence for deliverance from deceitful and malicious attacks because their God hates wickedness." Okay, that's a good little summary of the theme running through the psalm. The righteous may pray with confidence for deliverance from deceitful and malicious attacks because their God hates wickedness. So what we're going to do is we're going to divide the psalm into three parts. For tonight's lesson, we'll only be able to get through the first two, if that. We'll see how we go. All right, so it's the outline will be the plea of David's prayer, or the plea of his prayer. And then we're going to note a principle in his prayer, verse 4 to 7. And then in our next lesson, we'll have to look at the last section, the petition of his prayer, verse 8 to 12. So notice firstly the plea of his prayer in verse 1 to 3. Let's reread the verses there. "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Okay, so hear the fervency in David's prayer, the pleading coming through here. "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So this is David's plea. It's his entrance, as it were, into the throne room of heaven and the words that are upon his heart. David is coming to the Lord with a burden upon his heart, and that is conveyed in the intensity of his words here when he's calling upon God to give ear, to consider, to hearken. Now, I understand David is not praying like a heathen man would pray with a sense of doubt that God is going to physically or actually hear him. That is not the point in view here. We know that God hears the prayers of the righteous. He is open. But rather, David is praying that God would give consideration to his prayer. Okay, we need to remember that. When we come into God's presence, we don't come, as it were, demanding of God. We understand he is high and holy. And so it's a good thing to ask the Lord, "Lord, would you please consider this prayer now? Would you consider my needs?" And that is a reverent way of approaching the Lord. So under the plea, notice a couple of things there. We notice a fervent request in verse 1 and 2. A fervent request. And number one under that, the boldness of this request. Okay, there is certainly not the language of an arrogant demand here, but there is certainly the language of boldness. Give ear, consider, and hearken. David is fervently asking the Lord here to give a consideration to his prayer. Now, we notice that this cry of David's heart, or his prayer, his plea, is expressed in words. And also, it is also expressed without words. So look in verse 1 there. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." So this is spoken prayer, a prayer that is from the heart put into words. But we notice that David also has a form of silent prayer or unspoken prayer in mind. And we see the word meditation there and the word cry. Okay, and again, those words bring out to us the depth of David's burden at this time. The word meditation has the idea of sighing. Okay, have you ever sighed before the Lord in prayer, where it's like you can't really even put your prayer into words? Maybe you've been in a position like that as a Christian, where you've been so weighed down you didn't really know how to speak except to just cry out to the Lord. Maybe even just to weep in his presence, or just to let the tension out, as it were, in an unspoken prayer in the presence of the Lord. That's what David has in view here. And isn't it a wonderful thing that we can do that with our God? You know, we can't always make sense, can we, of the burden we carry. But aren't you thankful we have a God who can give consideration to the sighing of the heart, not just to the words we speak to him, but he also knows the inner prayers, as it were, just the silent pleadings of the soul with him. These are precious to the Lord. And even those cries, not necessarily, again, words, but the cry of the heart to the Lord, maybe even just an actual cry of the voice in distress to the Lord. And so that's what's in view here. David is coming to the Lord with a burdened heart, and there's great boldness in his approach to the Lord. Now we notice also the basis of his request. Look at verse 2. He says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry," and underscore the little word "my" there. Possessive pronoun, isn't it? My King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. This is a key theme and a key truth. David can come to God on the basis of his relationship with him. Can you see that? My King and my God. That's the language of personal attachment, isn't it? David knows God. David is God's child, and he approaches him on that basis. And so can we. That's the blessing, isn't it, of knowing the Lord, is we have a personal relationship with him and we can approach him on that basis. C.H. Spurgeon calls this the pith and marrow of the plea. He calls it the grand argument why God should answer our prayer. Okay? Why should God answer our prayer? Why should God give consideration to our prayer? Well, if you are his child, then what you pray is important to him. So we have a fervent request. Then we notice in verse 3 a faithful resolve. A faithful resolve. David resolves before the Lord some things concerning his discipline of prayer. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So David is speaking these words to the Lord, but it really is an expression of David's own heart resolve before the Lord. And notice that David resolves three things. Number one, the occasion for his praying, or the time period of his praying, the occasion when he will pray. "My voice shalt thou hear in the" what? "Morning, O Lord." In the" what? "Morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So here we see that David is committing himself to a definite time to seek the Lord. That's a great resolve, isn't it? To have that commitment in our lives to a definite season with the Lord each day. Amen? Okay, so this verse clearly draws our attention to the importance of the daily walk in the believer's life, doesn't it? That we need to walk with God each day. Now, I understand we're to walk with the Lord all day, aren't we? As we go about our duties, as we go about our work responsibilities, whatever it be, we are to walk with the Lord throughout the day. But do you see that there is a definite biblical basis for setting aside special time out of our day for communion with the Lord? And so this is what is in view for David. David is resolving before the Lord that he will speak to the Lord in the morning hour. And that is the best time for the majority of people. Now, if you have a chronic medical condition or you're a mother up all through the night, you may have to slot it in somewhere else during the day. But the principle is the same. It is one of setting aside definite time for the Lord. And if able, morning is a great way to start. Okay, as Spurgeon says, prayer should be the key of the day, and the lock of the night. I like the picture there. Okay, so you open the day with the Lord in prayer and close the day with the Lord in prayer. That's a good practice, isn't it? He says devotion should be both the morning star and the evening star. Okay, so it's good to start the day with the Lord and finish the day with the Lord. Now, out of those two, one will probably be, depending on who you are and how you're wired and how your day runs, one of those will probably be the major one out of the two. Okay, for me personally, I have my main devotion in the morning and just a briefer one usually at night, a brief reading or something and hit the sack. But the principle there of start and finish the day with the Lord and, of course, walk with him in between as well. So David is resolving in his heart about this matter, that the Lord will hear his voice, that he will spend definite time with the Lord. Secondly, we notice the direction for his praying. There's some focus in his praying. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now let me draw your attention to that word direct. It's an interesting word. Okay, it obviously, just in a very basic sense, we think of prayer that is focused towards the Lord. Okay, but this word is interesting. It's used in the Old Testament to describe Abraham laying the wood in order upon the altar in Genesis 22, verse 9. All right, so when Abraham was to offer up Isaac, the Bible says in Genesis 22:9 that he laid the wood in order. So laid in order, that comes from the same Hebrew word translated direct. All right, so what David essentially is saying here is I'm going to arrange my prayer before you. I'm going to lay out my requests before you. And so it implies that the problem isn't it? So often we come before the Lord, we go through a mechanical routine, and we blurt out all the things on our hearts, and then we go away and even forget about what we've asked him. So there is anticipation here, a spirit of expectancy. David is waiting for a divine answer to his prayers. Spurgeon writes, "How can we expect the Lord, this is a good quote, to open the windows of his grace and pour us out a blessing if we will not open the windows of expectation and look for the promised favour? Let holy preparation link hands with patient expectation, and we shall have far larger answers to our prayers." I like that picture. If we want the Lord to open the windows of heaven in response to our prayers, then on our end, we need to throw open the window of expectation, waiting for it to be received. Amen? That's faith, isn't it? All things that we ask, believing Christ promises, we will receive, obviously, within the parameters of God's will. So, that is the plea of David's prayer. And we're probably going to have to stop there for sake of time, aren't we? Yes, we will. All right, so just to recap on that, we note David's fervent request. There's fervency in his prayer. There's boldness before the Lord, not brashness, not an irreverent demand, but boldness before the Lord. We notice that his prayers include both okay, Lord, we pray you bless these truths to our hearts and help us, Lord, to be faithful in the place of prayer. Help us, like David of old, to set aside a definite time period within our daily schedules, Lord, to meet with you. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid to bring specific petitions before you, Lord, but to do that. And then, Lord, with faith, to await the answer we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.